Pressure and support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Nurture and Support. This is episode 149 and I am Mel at Karmic9.
And hi everybody, I'm Kelly at K-E-L-L-Y-T-H-U-L on Twitter.
And it's been a while. We messed up the order last week because, first world problems. So you've got Squat Cobbler last week. So here is another Nurture and Support. And I have a recommendation that's a long time coming. I finally watched something on my Netflix queue. I've been saying for how long? All I do is add things to my queue. I don't ever watch them, but I finally watched a show, and it's a recent show too. But
I've already recommended Get Me Roger Stone. It would be redundant for you to recommend that again.
I wasn't strong enough to watch Roger Stone yet. It's far more enjoyable than Roger Stone. But I haven't been on Twitter much lately, so I'm not sure what's being said out there about this show. It did hit Netflix in January, but it's called The End of the Effing World. Have you seen this one yet, Kelly?
I have not watched it. I have seen it as an option show up, and it caught my attention, but I have not.
Okay. It's based on a graphic novel, and it is a British dark comedy, is what you would call it. It's the great thing about it is there are only 8 episodes. Each episode is less than 30 minutes long. So it's really, really amazing. And on the blog post, I'm going to put the trailer that I first saw on YouTube for it that convinced me that I really needed to watch this show. So the premise is you've got a boy named James. He's in high school. He believes he's a psychopath. And what he really wants to do to expand upon his natural line of being a psychopath, he needs to kill a human.
Sounds like a really cheery show so far.
I told you it's a dark comedy. He picks a girl named Alyssa. Now, it's questionable, really, whether he picks her or she picks him, because basically, Alyssa is a character. She's a girl that goes to his school who is the opposite of him in pretty much every way. James is quiet. He keeps to himself. He doesn't ever yell at anyone. He doesn't say anything. He sits at his own table and eats lunch by himself. And Alyssa is loud and tells everybody in many 4-letter words where to go and how to do it and what they can do. And she gets fed up one day with her friends who are texting her while they're sitting across the lunch table from her. So she stands up, smashes her phone, and stalks over to James's table and sits down with him and basically insinuates herself into his life. And he kind of just lets her and then comes up with the idea of he's going to kill her. That's who he's going to pick. So he's going to pretend to be her boyfriend or like her, whatever the case may be, in order to kill her. And that's the premise. And you find all that out in like the first 5 minutes of the very first episode. You basically find all that out in the trailer that you watch. So hilarity ensues after all of this. You can just imagine two crazy high school kids, one of which wants to kill the other one while they pretend to be their significant other. So it's so well done. Now, I will warn anybody, you probably have already are scratching your head going, this does not sound good, or it sounds crazy, or it sounds horrible. It has some trigger issues, obviously. So in the very first few minutes of the show, while James is explaining why he believes he's a psychopath, there is some violence done to neighborhood pets as people who decide they need to move up to killing a person have already practiced a little on animals. The show does not do this gratuitously, and all of you are going, but Mel, how could you possibly be okay with this?
And I'd be with every one of them.
Yes. So. And I was there too. If I had known that probably before I sat down to watch it, I probably would have balked. Or if I didn't know what the show was about or hadn't seen the trailer and I saw that, I would have turned it off probably. That is not something that is okay with me. But the trailer was so engaging and so funny that I decided, okay, this happens. I mean, and they don't ever show pets. Okay, it's they don't ever show any sort of gratuitous violence in this show. It's all artfully implied. So you don't ever see any poor little fluffy animals, okay? And it's one thing that happens, just a couple seconds. They don't dwell on it. But if you stick it out through the whole season, which I remind you is only 8 episodes that are all less than half an hour, you will find that's kind of an important thing to know. Towards the end of the season, it gives you a little more depth as the show goes on and things go askew to give you a frame of reference. So obviously I'm not going to spoil anything for you, but despite the animal violence, I really, really, really loved this show. I really like dark comedies. I also like anti-heroes and what's called grimdark in the literary world. So it's really no surprise I like this show. Alyssa is just this wonderful character who is leading James around and he's just following her along. Well, we all know he's secretly looking for an opportunity to kill her, but she's in charge of everything that happens. They end up running away from home. And it becomes a very Bonnie and Clyde scenario as they traipse across the countryside, stealing vehicles, kind of accidentally committing crimes. They're not bad kids. Yes, one of them's plotting to kill one of them.
And there's animal violence, but they're not bad kids.
They're not bad kids. It's really a character study of these two kids. And as it goes on, they're both lying horrifically about everything in their lives. And as the season goes on, you find out the truth as they open up a little bit or get caught in a lie here and there. And you find out the truth behind both of them. Now, one of the comedic effects that they use really well in here is you hear their inner monologue in the middle of conversations that they're having. One of them will be saying, you know, what they really, they'll be saying one thing coming out of their mouth, but in their head, you're hearing what they're really thinking. And this goes on for both characters. Primarily, I feel like the show is mostly about James, but it's almost as much about Alyssa. It's about their relationship going through all of these crazy things that they do. And kind of making sense of their lives because they're teenagers. And like any teenagers, they're very confused about the world and about themselves and everything else. And there's a lot of really good things that go on in this show. Primarily, there's the issue of consent that is really, this is how you handle it. If you want to see a good example of how the issue of consent gets handled in TV shows, this show is probably the best example of how to handle that in a young situation that I've really seen. So I thought that was really important, and it's not like they're making a big deal about it. It's just the way that it handles. It flows really well because I've seen people argue about, well, what are they supposed to do? Stop and go, hey, is this okay? They handle this really, really well in this show. And that being said, the show, while it has a lot of, how to put it, they talk about sex a lot. There's really not any sex going on in the show. It's not about that, despite the fact that it's teenagers. And one of the other things I really like about it is most shows here in the U.S. that involved high school kids, they would be like these beautiful high school kids. And they actually make an effort to make these two actors that are playing these roles look extraordinarily normal, like everybody. They're not out there with six-pack abs at 17 or being high school football stars. They're normal, everyday, weird kids that maybe because I'm old, I'm like, yeah, that's how kids were when I was in school. We were all weird. So I really, really, really enjoyed this. And if you like dark comedies like Heathers, I'm dating myself. They're remaking Heathers. So, you know, whatever. If you haven't seen the original Heathers, you need to see it. It's actually on Netflix. But that's another good one. If you like this show, go watch Heathers if you haven't seen it. Or if you're old like me, obviously you've already seen it and loved it because you were a teenager when Heathers came out. And it was the It movie that everybody had to go see. But dark comedy dealing with a lot of dark issues, but being really funny about it is really all I can say without giving a bunch of the story away. I don't know if there's going to be a season two. I don't think they've announced it for sure. But the way that season one ends, it could just end there and be perfectly, perfectly fine. So you don't have to worry about there being a cliffhanger that you're not going to get to potentially see the rest of it, or it's going to get drug out and you're going to have to wait forever. This was, like I said, originally made in the UK. And Netflix actually brands it as a Netflix original, but that's because they have the distribution rights for the international distribution rights. So when you look it up on Netflix, it actually has the Netflix logo across it, like Netflix made it, but they didn't. They just licensed it. So whether they make a season two or not, I think I'd be kind of happy if it just ended where it ended in season one. And it's really fun. If you've got a little bit of an open mind and a macabre sense of humor like I do, I think you will really enjoy The End of the Effing World on Netflix. It was loads of fun. And because it's only 8 episodes, you could binge it in an afternoon on a weekend and have a good time.
So I don't think I'm going to do a recommendation this week. I think I'm just going to comment on yours on multiple levels here. One of the things I do to keep myself busy and out of trouble is play around with our audio for the Squat Cobblers and Literature and Support. And I have a series of files that I have. One is just the sounds of guttural noises that emerge typically from me. There's Mike occasionally wheels a few out, and there's an occasion or two where we get Mel gets a good one too. And so I've got basically this ever-growing length of all of these very strange sounds, which I played with in a music thing one time, but I continue to add to that. The second one I have is when there are just words that are strung together that need to be kept.
Oh no.
And Mel has given me a gift here because from this show, I will be able to pull out, despite the animal violence, I really, really, really like this show, which, yes, you know, out of context is pretty fun. It's from there. So that was it. The other thing I would like to point out is you are so lucky Mike is not on this show, because this is the kind of recommendation of when I innocently put something out and say, you got to cut a little slack here or there. He pounces, and I could just see him going off, going, so if there was a really great band and the opening act was Seal Clubbing, you'd be okay with it. You know, that would be Mike's kind of way that he would take it far to the extreme on that. But you're lucky he's not here. So you
guys. Yeah, this was fictional animal violence. It wasn't real.
See, now you sound like me defending some of the ones.
This is fictional. I told you it was artfully done.
That's right. It's a good tactic. You know, these are the kinds of arguments you can get into from time to time. But I will act, and so we get to stay in Netflix for my recommendation as well. So after you watch Mel's animal violence show.
There's not. It's 5 seconds. It's
animal violence
seconds.
Murder show, you know. So after you're, you know, and you're kind of happy after that, you know, I'll try and bring you down.
You will be happy at the end. If you watch the whole season, when it ends, you will be happy.
Okay.
You won't think so when you start out watching the show, but by the end, you will be happy and you will have a warm, fuzzy feeling.
Oh, there you go.
You will. I promise. Even Kelly will have a warm, fuzzy feeling.
Oh, boy. We'll see about that. I am looking forward to checking it out, though. And it, like I said, it caught my eye, but I just, because I'm way behind on Ash versus the Evil Dead and a bunch of other things, I've got things to go through. And my recommendation came up, and it consumed me for a while. And it is also on Netflix. And have you had a chance to see The Toys That Made Us yet?
No. It's a documentary, isn't it?
It is.
Yes.
It is a document. It's a series of documentaries. There are shows, 2017 shows that have been released, and it's going to, I guess, be the second half of season one. There'll be 8 episodes in total. They run just under an hour. And it's fascinating. It's nostalgia, and it's about toys. And so the first 4, and they're the only 4 that are out there currently, are Star Wars, Barbie, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, and G.I. Joe.
What's funny about that is I know more about every one of those topics except for the Barbies.
I would too. So I kind of came in with the same point of view, but they're fascinating. They're very well done, and you are talking to the people who were directly involved with it. And there's kind of unhappy parts about everyone. There's like, well, and then this guy sold the rights. You know, he had a choice between, do I want to get 1% of royalties for this toy line, or do I just want a lump sum? Well, the guy picked the lump sum, and it was one of these toys, and that was an unfortunate decision in retrospect. But they're very well done, tons of detail. I don't really want to spoil watch. I'm going to kind of touch on a couple things I did learn. I think, you know, there's a lot in every episode, but the Star Wars one's great. One, because I'm a big Star Wars guy, but you really get, I mean, they touch all the bases on it, which includes also initially George Lucas had a very difficult time securing anyone to create merchandise for Star Wars. And Kenner, who ended up doing it, was not on the short list to begin with. They became the only one that was willing to do it. And you get to hear the story. You get to see a lot about the kit bashing that they do for multiple ones of these in terms of how they kind of came up with the different ideas. And there's a healthy, first of all, the kind of toy making brain trusts that are out there are a very quirky lot. And so it's very interesting to see. What I totally missed out on was that He-Man began as a toy line. And as they were putting it together, you know, and Star Wars was kind of the thing that everybody kind of references in terms of, well, that's the big behemoth out there. And they're like, well, this is bigger than the Star Wars figures and he's tough and mean. But yeah, but Star Wars has movies and, you know, the kids, you know, how they know how to play with these things without kind of having backstory. And so you see how I had assumed the He-Man toys came from the cartoon. It was just the reverse. The cartoon ultimately was marketing for the toys.
For the toys. Well, that's awesome because Skeletor was just, you know, so pretty and purple. He really, really needed his own show.
He did. He was a star. And they kind of cover all the characters. It's fascinating to kind of hear how they kind of came up with them and how some of these things are just seat of the pants. Hey, how about we do this? And then the He-Man line had a $400 million year, 1 year, where it
wow,
basically outsold everything. And then the following year, it hit a shelf and went down to $7 million. They're like, some things have happened here. And there were a couple reboots of He-Man that I was very much unaware of within the toy line. And they were justifiably very short-lived. And you'll kind of see that. But it's cool. Fun fact, Barbie was modeled after a doll that was in Germany that was based on a cartoon character that was a prostitute. So
nice. I always knew that about that little hoe.
You could tell that there was something going on, and that's established kind of early in the episode. And there's a kind of very interesting dynamic between girls' toys and boys' toys and the competition between them and who's outselling who. And So it's all very, very interesting. But you get a lot of backstories. You see the people who were involved. You see different people wanting to take credit for more of the. It's kind of interesting to see a little bit of the interplay. But it's really, really good stuff, and it's just a joy to watch. And the Star Wars one, like I said, touches all the bases. You get the Boba Fett action figure with the shooting rockets, and they kind of give that story. And they got a collector who they visit towards the end, who's got this mammoth collection of Star Wars toys that is just kind of amazing to see. So it's a really fun watch. What will come up in 18 is Lego, Hello Kitty, Transformers, and Star Trek. So I don't remember as big a line of stuff for Star Trek, but I'm sure I'll be surprised. I mean, I knew there were models and lots of things there, but I wasn't super familiar with the Star Trek line.
We had some of the ships, but I don't remember having little people. Maybe we had a Spock in his robe outfit. Maybe we did. I'm trying to remember. I know we had a Starship Enterprise. I just don't remember a lot of the actual little action figure people from Star Trek.
Yeah, I had the model kit where you could make the phaser, the tricorder, and the communicator.
Mm-hmm.
And those, but I don't remember many of the other ones. And you get to learn G.I. Joe was the first action figure, because you certainly couldn't talk about a doll for boys. You know, it was one of the big problems they had to say, well, we can't call this thing a doll. So it was an posable action figure.
Yeah. That is one of the things that I like about nowadays. I'm into a lot of the indie art people who are making dolls, and they're so cool. And to me, what I've noticed as I get deeper into that little area of the indie people that are making them is they often are calling them dolls now instead of calling them action figures, you know, based on video games. A lot of the artists themselves call them dolls now, which I find interesting and good for our times. So as a girl who grew up in an era where there were very much girl toys and boy toys, and my family was not real great about buying me any of the Star Wars toys. I always had to play with my brothers, but I despised Barbie as a kid. And that's all I got. Though I didn't have a lot because I didn't like Barbie. I did like Strawberry Shortcake, though.
Yeah, which to me would have been better than Star Trek. But we'll see. We'll see. These will be interesting. Hello Kitty, I'm sure, is going to be fascinating. Lego will be super interesting as well.
Yeah, Lego's
I'm sure.
Awesome.
So, and they've certainly hit their stride, in terms of having now really come with the movie tie-ins that they can do quite a kit. Now, I'm sorry to say that this series lacks the animal violence that we all know. It's a big draw for Mel. But even if you can get over that, this is absolutely worth a quick watch. So the toys that made us, there's the first four out there. There's four more coming up that sound pretty cool. And I think you'll enjoy it.
Awesome. Lots of good Netflix stuff to watch and not actually a whole lot of time consumption going on there. So that's good. Lots of time for playing with action figures.
That's right. You can balance your day out.
Yes. So I don't have a social media this week. Do you?
I do. This May, I didn't do the research to determine if this is a repeat or not, but had a recent interaction with this individual and just reminded me how awesome he was. And if I've recommended him before, I'm just doubling down on that recommendation again. If not, shame on me for not recommending him earlier. Possibility you could have recommended him too. So we'd have to go back to the tapes, and that's a lot of work.
That's too much work for us, y'all.
We just like to talk. So Corin Nemec, with the Twitter verified checkmark, actor, super awesome guy, been connected with him for a while. And I think timing wise, this is going to come out fairly quickly. So the Olympics are going on, and a longstanding tradition on Twitter is Lisa Marie Bowman and I like to live tweet the opening ceremonies and the Parade of Nations and all that type of thing. And we look forward to it. And I thought, did a very reasonable job again this year of it. But did you catch any of the opening ceremonies, Mel?
No, I missed it because I told you our satellite receiver went out.
Oh, yeah, that would be a problem.
It went out that night. I was on the phone with tech support during the opening ceremonies or when they were airing here. So I did think that I was missing Kelly's commentary on the opening ceremonies, but I was trapped on the phone with tech support.
Yeah, it's my Oscars night. It's just whatever, because it's just, I just get so much joy out of it. But early in the opening ceremonies, they did a fantastic job of, by the way. I mean, there were drones that did the Olympic circles and the Olympic rings, rather. It was just amazing. And so it was tremendously well-done ceremony. But at the very beginning, they kind of established these four young children who were walking around nature in Korea, observing things, beautiful, picturesque stuff that eventually these children on film showed up, you know, at the stadium in the same outfits and all that. But one of the scenes was they were by what, I don't know, must have been like a waterfall in the winter, but it was this big mountain with a lot of frozen ice on it, gigantic icicles hanging down. And the children were kind of close to it. And one of the icicles broke free, came down and crashed. They were a very safe distance from it. There wasn't like peril involved, but it was, you know, just kind of a little moment there. And so I tweeted out, no children were impaled by giant icicles in this opening ceremony.
Yes.
Which Corin replied to, bummer. So he said, bummer, which is awesome.
Yes.
So, which I responded to, yet, yet. Keep his hopes up, and then got a yes with an exclamation point. But it remained impalement free for the entire episode. But Corin's awesome. He's a great follow on Twitter. His Twitter address is @IM, Corin Nemec, and that's CORINNEMEC. And he's cool, and he's funny. And he's, like Mel, like pro-icicle impaling, and, you know, just another dark humor thing.
Yes. I think he has been recommended. It's been a while, but I'm not certain that it was actually one of us. I think it may have been one of our guests that recommended him, but it's hard to tell because he is a star of so many of our favorite sci-fi movies. Yes, that we feel very close to him. So he's always been a part of our lives.
I wouldn't be surprised if Rachel Rigda recommended him. We'll have to go back and see if that could have been.
Yeah, we might have to look it up. I have the feeling that someone else recommended him on the show, and he may have been recommended numerous times because he really is awesome, and he does interact with us weirdos on Twitter, which, you know, there's no gain to him for talking to us. So, hey, we love Corin. He is awesome.
Yeah. And because we're not in regular dialogue every day, but so it's just these moments with giant icicles and all that we get a chance to connect. It's fun. But I did, not on this one, but the last one, say, you know, this is a guy we've got to have on the show. And so I kind of threw that out to him on Twitter, and he responded back, yeah, we should be able to make that happen. So he's open to it. So we just probably need to get back with him and see what we can do. But he would be a fantastic guest to have on sometime.
Yes, he would. I don't know. We might be so starstruck that we couldn't speak.
He wouldn't be. Remember that time I tweeted about high schools? And you said, bummer. It was so cool.
You saved my tweet.
Yeah, remember that?
Oh, we're not weird or not reasonable or reasonable the end of the effing world people.
Oh. No, not at all. Perfectly not normal. So, speaking of someone who's not perfectly normal, we're going to hand it over to our good friend Matt, who Mel is very nice and thanks in all of our blog posts, along with Alicia, for both of their contributions to the show, either the opening song or the credits you're about to hear from Matt. So Mel's good cop. I'll stay bad cop and pick on Matt because it's fun. But We'll let him tell you all the different ways you can connect to nurture and support and the strange recommendations that you get from us. And that's all I got for this week. So thanks for listening, everyone.
We'll be back for another episode sometime soon.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com. Or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter.
Nurturing and supporting.